Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle-market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stiefel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Hi, everyone. It's Jason Kelly in New York with a special edition of Bloomberg Business of Sports. Well, for the latest installment of our Athlete Empire documentary series, I went to visit with Steve Young. He's, of course, the NFL Hall of Famer who's now the co-founder and president of the private equity firm HGGC. Now, this is a guy who made his name with his feet, running away from defenders, running for the end zone, first at BYU and eventually with the San Francisco 49ers, where he won 3 Super Bowl rings. And he's still on the move. We met up at his Palo Alto office and then drove. He's got a sweet minivan. Down to Levi's Stadium. That's where his old team now plays. He still goes to games there at Levi's, often hosting fellow investors and portfolio companies there in the suite that his firm has. We met up the following week in Arizona. He was hosting a golf tournament for his Forever Young Foundation, as well as a conference of CFOs of HGGC companies. And after spending a day chasing him around the golf course, literally chasing him around in golf carts, we finally sat down for a long conversation there in Scottsdale. And that's what you're about to hear. He talks about his playing days and the transition to life after football, as well as what it's taken to build HGGC into a firm that's raised about $7 billion in private equity funds. I hope you enjoy it. To see the full documentary, you can check out Athlete Empire on Bloomberg.com or YouTube. Here's Steve. So let's start by talking about where we are. We're not in Palo Alto, where we did spend some time together. We're here in Arizona. And this charity golf tournament.
We're in the baller suite. That's
we are in the baller. We are absolutely in the baller suite. And it was fascinating yesterday to watch you. And I want to talk about it because it was like all these worlds colliding in some way. So, and this happens three times a year, right? So tell me about this.
So our foundation, historically, that's how we make the budget. And what we do is we trade on signed, you know, footballs and helmets and jerseys and, you know, even different sports. And now we're in, we've got one of the people that I basically signed my name because they, you know, we make a deal, like, and then we get stuff to kind of use in the tournament. So it cycles through, and that's how we make our budget. And then in time, my partner, Rich Lawson, finally realized this is an opportunity for our business. And I told you originally, I was like, you know, easy, but it's phenomenal. And it's really, now we have our CFO conference at the Phoenix tournament every year. That's kind of how we do it. And so we're half the field or more from our own portfolio and our own firm. And so it's kind of all come together. My firm, our charity, our fundraising efforts, and then the friends that are around. Like there's a few guys, you know, my oldest friends now and my dad and my brother, like it all happens right there as a confluence of all these parts of my life that have found its common center.
Yeah.
You know? And I can't tell you as time has gone on how grateful I am. That's a super cool thing that can happen in my life. I can roll in and my whole life comes in a circle in one day.
Well, exactly. I mean, I felt like I was living this is your life with you, like chasing you around a golf course yesterday, because as you say, there are all these different touch points. How do you approach a day like that? I mean, how do you get, because you've got a clipboard, you're like eating
Jason,
on the go.
I mean, we've been at it a long time.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a fun day to make all the associations, but most of them are old associations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's like going to the Super Bowl. In many ways, it's a convention,
yeah,
right? Of the people that I don't see maybe once a year. And it's all kind of quick hellos and kind of getting around. And I used to just play with one group and just play. And I finally realized that, you know, again, Steve, people come, we need to take the picture. And so part of it's a capitulation. I'm like, okay, let's do the picture, you know? But then, like most things, I realize it's good, like it's actually things I want to do and things that I enjoy. And so you luckily you live long enough. That's the blessing of living a little longer, is you get to see the screw ups of how you looked at things and how much there's benefit, you know, there's an overall benefit to my life in kind of the rigor of the day.
Yeah.
Right. I see it as a huge opportunity more than anything.
And to be fair, you did get in a few holes at the end of that.
Well, so that's part of it. Like, how fast can we go? Because, you know, through the last couple of years, Keith Clearwater, I have a love for golf, like a lot of people. It really is a passion. I love golf. I love thinking about it. I just don't play it very often. But I believe that if you love golf and you don't play it very often, you can get better kind of in your backyard. That's my theory. And it has proven untrue. And so it's been very frustrating because I want to prove that you do not have to go play a lot,
right,
to get better. And so Keith's my check-in, you know, I was like, because he's the guy that he makes the most sense to me. And when you talk about golf and these are the things you need to work on, I get 1,000 tips, you know, from everyone. But the thing that, and so when I get around him, I'm like, where's Keith? I got to get to him so he can give me a couple of tips.
So you mentioned seeing your dad yesterday, which for me, at least having, you know, learned a lot about you and talked to you a little bit. I mean, this seminal guy, seminal person in your life in many ways. And you talk a lot, you talk in your book. I heard you talk to the CFOs about, you know, these critical moments in your life. And not just moments, but sort of through lines. Yeah. And specifically, what's the plan? And when you think about yourself as a business person, I wonder how you sort of factor that in. And I have to say, for me at least, like seeing your dad evoked a lot of that.
Yeah.
For me, and I wonder if it does for you as well.
I think, like most people, you don't appreciate it when it's happening. Growing up and all the things that your dad or mom do for you, or any parent or parent person or guardian, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's just the relationship. When you're, you know, what is it? Mark Twain, youth is wasted on the young. I mean, you're kind of don't, you're not built to appreciate the way that now time gone on has gone on. And I look back and reflect on the impact and you go, oh. I mean, it's like the threads are thick. And how I look at the world, I didn't realize how informed it was by how my dad looked at the world. And then you get older and you're like, my gosh, that's amazing how, you know, how much that happens. And I think that's another thing to getting a little bit more age is an appreciation for those things and actually having to be able to tie them all together for yourself. And that's what's happened in the last really in 10, 15 years is just that appreciation for how thick that is and how beneficial it's been in my life. Mm-hmm. Like just as a direction. You know, you'll be able to say, you know, you wake up every day and you know, a new day, what direction are you headed? And so much of which direction I headed every day was really informed by how my parents thought about how to look at every day. And that's where the, you know, the great gratitude comes from. And he's a man of few words. I don't know if you got a chance to talk to him. It's like, not like he's going to, you know, but he's as fun and happy as he's been in a long time because he's healthy and his nickname is Grit, probably not because he, but when you get him, it's like anybody, when you get him going, he's the funniest guy alive, but super intense.
But the plan becomes formative in many ways, and not just for football, and in many ways, almost in spite of football, like it transcends in many ways. Tell me about that.
My career in private equity is solely on the back of his constant pecking at me around football is a dream, what's the plan? And because I constantly thought about that, I was in a position, because how, I mean, we've talked a little bit about how the transition, I give you a couple of very important kind of things that happened, but fundamentally, without the law degree, I wouldn't have been able to get the opportunity to get into direct investing. Now, did I have the MBA that everyone had out of Harvard? Did I do the 4 years of consulting or banking and, you know, no, but I think I was given the opportunity because I had that in my pocket, and I wouldn't have. And I wouldn't have gone to law school if my dad had not had driven it in my head that you better have a plan.
Because right.
I don't care if, and what's amazing to me, Jason, is that he was actually, I mean, he was right. I played 18 seasons. Now there's a few that have played more. Tom Brady's now 23, but there was a couple guys that got to 20, but I got as many as maybe anyone who ever played. And I still did have half of my life that I wanted to be productive. And what could you do with another half of a life? And I, without him pecking away at me, I would have just winged it, you know? And having a thought, and that's why I want to pay it forward to future generations to just give them, what's the plan?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To kind of pay forward, what is your plan? And I don't care how long you play. If you think you're going to play for 18 years, fine. You still got another half of your life. What are you going to do? And just to have that people, that germinating in guys' minds, it was super valuable to me, and I would love it to think that if you pay it forward to other people.
And so tell me about, you know, and you talked to the CFOs about this notion of, all right, so you had a law degree, but that opens up a lot of possibilities. You do have this conflation of events a little bit in the sense that, and we talked about this in the way to Levi's Stadium.
Valley, right?
You're in Silicon Valley. So all these things are kind of germinating, But that doesn't necessarily mean
it happens.
It happens. Right. And so what's the moment or what's the process by which you become an investor?
You know, the truth is, if you think about the entrepreneurship that was born out of the locker room to find those relationships up and down Sand Hill and to think about, okay, what do I have? What are my assets? And what can I trade on to kind of figure out ways to, and entrepreneurial spirit to start Northgate Capital with Brent Jones and Tommy Vardell, to start a business found with some buddies from college and find investors, sophisticated institutional investors. Like, you look back and then like, how did you get to private equity? Well, you know, it was that, you know, you started doing, in a way you did private equity on the other side. And I think that's the only way the transition happened, is that you're looking back at being on the board at Power Bar and being in the locker room trying to talk about those relationships and learning, getting to be friends with Doug Leone at Sequoia and seeing the deals and how they thought about the world and being an investor in Bain and watching Bain go from the, you know, from the very beginning to this, you know, stratospheric rise and the personalities and what that, the rigor of it. I got that insight over time while I was playing in many ways. So, and that's why I said, you know, Larry Fitzgerald is famously, not famously, but to me famously, come ask me all the time, Steve, tell me more. Cause he's thinking about it. And I tell Larry, because you're asking the questions, you're going to find a way through it. And he now is. I just saw him in the newspaper. He announced a huge hotel that he's building with the guys that the great restaurateur and others. That, like, he's figuring it out. And I encourage players to just keep asking questions. And, you know, because people should be worried about the future. It's something to be worried about.
And so when you get into private equity and you start, you know, Northgate comes along, then you start building and different parts of your life start coming together and then coming apart.
Right,
So tell me about those early days of what becomes HGGC.
So really, it's fundamentally Bob Gay, who had been a close friend of mine, did a lot of philanthropy together. You think about the OGs of private equity, he's in there with Mitt Romney and building Bain. I mean, he was the third guy in at Bain. And so he had deep private equity experience. And so, and when I had started Northgate Capital and I had started, don't overstate it, but I'm just been involved in these kind of things. And then I made the association with Rich. And Rich, to me, was very important because he was the traditional banker, the traditional private equity kind of heritage. We were connected and partners at that point, and Bob wanted, you know, was encouraged to start and help start Sorensen Capital. And so that, it was just seemed like an almost a natural thing to step into those shoes and be a founder in a private equity firm. And that's the place where, in private equity, that's the spot where, you know, you can do a lot of different things, but they got to actually get in from the ground floor in a private equity firm. And in many ways, you know, it cut my teeth on a small $250 million fund. And so that was perfect too, because, you know, you can't overstretch yourself. And so it was without, it's like idiot savant, right? Like the things that led to each other, but were natural kind of outcroppings. And so getting into direct investing felt like, you know, people say, so how do I do that? Like, it seems, you know, disjointed, but it's actually step by step in some ways.
Right.
Right. And then how it led to HGGC was, you know, we invested in very successfully our first fund at Sorensen Capital. And my other two partners, Ron Mika and Fraser Bullock, great guys, wanted to stay in Utah and do this geographic kind of Intermountain West $250 million private equity firm. And Rich and I, because of relationships that we kind of emerged out of my previous life and other things that happened, like, we have kind of grander visions. And Bob had gone to Africa for church service for 3 years, left Bain to do it, and now had to decide whether to come back. And Bain had grown in those 3 years. 2004, 2007 are the, you know, the big years of growth for
the go-go
and so
years.
In 2007, he's coming back to a Bain that's now buying Pizza Hut and Burger King and the science. And we knew that he loved the art, right? The middle market, this, you know, kind of down with the operators. And And so Rich and I had this idea, let's go pitch him to come back and start his own firm. And so Rich and I flew over to Ghana, Africa, and bounced around in the car. And as he was going to visit missionaries and came up with the idea, and he did it. And that was, you know, so Huntsman Gay Global Capital, and then when John Huntsman, it's a long story of how he didn't get over, but, and then Bob ended up going to full-time church service in 2011. So then in 2012, Rich and I found ourselves kind of without the name partners and trying to now recreate Huntsman Gay Global Capital into HGGC. So it's an evolving over a period of time, but to me, it makes total sense. To someone on the outside, it's like, so what, how do you, good luck trying to connect those dots. I guess that's your job.
Well, and in that moment, I mean, I do wonder, the two named partners are no longer part of it. You obviously have a name.
Why didn't you name it Young Capital or whatever?
Right. I mean,
well, first of all, Bob never wanted to use his name. So, you know, that was on my mind as well. But I wasn't a great marketer. I mean, I've run it. There's players that are, Deion Sanders is a genius marketer. When he played for the 49ers, I got to watch it firsthand. And you talk about an athlete. I mean, he could go from the field, be a great locker room teammate, and then be a great marketer. And he could actually put on those different shoes. And I'm not that talented. I'm not a genius marketer. If I was, maybe I would have done something different. And so maybe there's things I could have done that would have made it even easier or better or whatever. I just, my mind doesn't work that way.
You also, and I don't think this is a stretch, had some hesitation about being ex-football player investor. You wanted to be an investor. Is that fair?
That's very fair. And I think, I don't know how to say this the right way, but the more famous you are as a player, the more accomplished you are, the more I thought the difficulty would have to actually have people take you seriously. Like, you can play a little bit and then transition and one goes, oh yeah, I used to play, you know, he played at Harvard and then he played at, a couple seasons with the Browns, and you know, that's fine. But a Hall of Fame football player now wanting to be in a really intense environment and an industry that's, you know, kind of like, in some ways, the rigor of football. I maybe overplayed it. I can admit that at this point. But if you're going to, in my mind, if you're going to start from the beginning and be a founder and kind of claw it out from the beginning, you can't bring that with you. That's going to be every day. Every time you walk in a room, it's going to be part of it. The worst thing you can do is bring it with you, right? And so I think there is a concerted effort and maybe over effort to separate the two. And I've learned how to become comfortable with both. And I think that's a cool place. But you love to psychoanalyze, Jason. You're like, you can't help it. You're like, yeah, let me ferret through it. Let me find out exactly where this is coming from. And I think that you've hit a little bit of a vein that I purposely was not comfortable, because my level of fame was going to already be in the room. What's worse is the guy who has it uses it as a stick, you know. And I always my dad is a stick and a tool, like, you know, a weapon and a tool. And I wanted my fame to be a tool. I didn't want it to be a weapon. And it's so easy to weaponize, right? You can bring in and just slay the room and just tell everyone to, you know, and that's not the way I wanted to do it. I wanted it to be, and it's hard because it comes with you no matter what, inevitably the conversation. Look, I've been out for 22 years, and I go in to talk to our CFOs in our portfolio, and what do? I talk about football. So I'm guilty of it as well. But you can't, the lessons are true and they resonate. And so I've figured out how to, again, like most things in my life, have become integrated, but it all works now.
Yeah.
But certainly when I started, I held myself back in some ways because I was so worried about being taken seriously.
C Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline, it's teamwork, and it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do, that's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
So in terms of, you know, these worlds really integrating,
yeah,
it was really fascinating to hear you talk to the CFOs. First of all, I would love to know how you approach that, because I saw you on the side, you sort of jotted down a couple of things, and then you just like, you were off. And I know it's not a canned speech. So there are certain elements there that you've clearly been thinking about in terms of metaphors and analogies and connections.
Yeah.
How do you approach something like that?
You know, I've done a lot of speaking, and it gives me opportunities to kind of formulate themes in my head. And I didn't realize how much those themes kind of rubbed off on the firm. And I realized over time that they weren't just, you know, something to say. They actually had some really important meanings. And so I think over time, it doesn't, I'd written down a couple of things. I actually didn't, I stopped where I started to write. I stopped because I'd spent so much time talking about something I didn't really intend to. But I also, when I got started talking about what a partner is and what these guys as CFOs think about every day in retention, and how do we keep people in this environment? How do we make sure that, you know, we have a place that, you know, people are happy in? And that just got me started on what made my previous experience with the 49ers, what was unique and different about them, and where we made great, you know, where we led and where we failed, you know, so that, and then how to think about what is, you know, and this idea of creative tension, I've been thinking about a lot lately, because people shy away from tension. It's like, oh, tension, that seems very tense. We need to move away because we need to be, you know, everything's copacetic and happy and bubbly. And it's like, no. But there's a place where it gets toxic. And that's athletic in itself to figure out where that line is. But having those guys think about and empower them as they sit in unique spots to mold a business that needs to retain people, some of these things to me are vital ways to, again, which way do I face? I waste, you know, and how do I approach each day? It gives them some fundamental kind of, to me, truth principles. And I probably should write them all down and have them all collated in a little thing, and I can just whiff through and kind of pull them out. That'll be another project for the future. But hopefully we tape some of this stuff over the years, because it does build on itself. And the guys that have been around my shop for a long time, I really work hard to come up with new stuff, because they're just so bored of seeing, you know, oh my gosh, if he tells that accountability story again, I'm going to go crazy. So even today, I couldn't bring it forward. I had it written down. I was like, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Because I see Bill Conrad, and like, Bill just go, oh, I can't do it again. You know, and Les would say, look, there's eight new people.
Right.
You tell them, you know, and I'm like, I worry about the guy that's heard it three times. So
along those lines, I want to talk about what you have described and Rich has described as this different approach to private equity. I know enough to be dangerous about the business. And this is, if not revolutionary, I'll do the job of drawing the metaphors.
Yeah, good luck making the case, but go ahead. I it's worth making, I think.
So I think that, interestingly, as a quarterback, you approach the game differently. Left-handed, scrambling when
nobody was doing it.
When nobody was doing it, and you were specifically told not to. Similarly, you're going into private equity with a very different playbook.
Yeah.
And one might argue radically different. Why and how does that actually get executed? Because there's a lot of what a lot of people talk about
differently. It's softer. You know, it's not something you can grab. You
right.
can two things. First of all, I realized pretty dramatically that football was unique in that there's so many guys and you needed I think, did I tell you the story about Steve Covey? Let me just boil it down. One of the conversations, I was on a plane with him in a very dark part of my career, just happened to sit next to him. He's the Seven Habits guy. And I'd never really chatted with him before in my life. I knew of him and told him how terrible it all was going and how hard it was and how much I wish I would have played golf, you know, and then it would just, I play, I win or I lose, and I don't have anyone to blame. Football is just too many guys. And you have to kind of gather everybody, and some are disinterested and some are less interested than others. And, you know, I remember moaning and complaining about it. And he had something to say that I'll, just super important. It informs your question. He said that it's been scientifically proven, Steve, that the most human beings that can work efficiently together is seven. And when you add the eighth person, it geometrically devolves. Ninth even more, so it gets worse. And so you get to the 11th person, it's just chaos. And I remember looking at him like, I thank you for proving my point. I can't tell you how grateful I am that you gave me this little tidbit, because it's been so frustrating. And then he came with the hammer. He said, but what you're missing is, and why I'm inspired to write my books and to do everything else, is that by definition, when you have too many people, and you can find efficiency or success or innovation or anything else, it's magical, because it makes no sense. It's devolved in the number of humans that are in the room. Scientifically, it does not make sense that you could work together. And that when you do, against science, there's magic. And it just so resonated with me. That's so true. Some of the greatest moments of my life are when 50 guys have one done something together, and you look at each other like, I can't believe what that feels like. And there is magic in it. And I think what resonated with me in private equity, and I got to give Bob Gay credit, because he loved the middle market. He loved the operators. He loved the people. He didn't, you know, he was a great underwriter, and he loved the science, because you have to. And I say, everyone can, you know, science should be a commodity. Everyone's great at the science, but it's the layer of art and the people. And so when we came together with Rich, that was fundamental to how we saw the business. And that resonated with me back with, you know, the magic. Like, that is the magic of football. And this is very, very much the same kind of rigor. And that there's magic in the people. And if you could leave the hubris behind, but that says, I love that business, but it would be so much better if I ran it. Right? And that might be true. And there's plenty of money made that way. But to me, the more profitable way to do it, not just in returns, but in kind of legacy, in abundance, in a spirit, I don't want to be too weird, but like is to approach it kind of looking at the person across the table as your strategic partner. And in that is complex. The person across the table has never had a partner. They hate the process. The reason why they started their business is because they never wanted a partner. And here they are at the table that they don't really want to be at. And here you are across the table trying to convince fundamentally that, no, you really do want a partner. And then we get into conversations around control. And that's my whole life, for my whole life is control. Like, control is how you get across the, you know, metaphorically across the goal line. Like, how do you parse control, and how do you work with each individual in a unique way? I can yell at John Taylor, I don't yell at Jerry Rice. You know, I have to talk to Brent Jones a certain way. And so all those aspects are just one-to-one in private equity. And to me, private equity at its best is art. And at its best and most profitable it's in this context of people first and art first. And I think that we raised money in 2007 on that. And I remember LPs kind of glazing over, looking at the returns of both of our firm funds and saying, okay, yeah, fine. You know, let's
show me the numbers.
Show me the numbers. I think maybe it would be profitable to talk to some LPs, but well, look, I told them, we said in 2008, there's a denominator of businesses that want to transact in this kind of what we described, this artful way. Believe us. We were pretty sure that was the case, and it was the case. 15 years later, what, tenfold of businesses that want to transact when they want to see someone across the table that can take care of the legacy, take care of the 15 or 20 things that might be as important as value. Because everyone's like, what's the price? But all of a sudden, there's 15 other things that I'm very concerned about that I need to make sure that you and I are on the same page. And so the denominator business that want to transact in this way is really, at this point, most everybody. Mm-hmm. So that's why everyone's a partnership investor now, right? Because you have to be, because right. That's what everyone's looking for. And I tell everyone, well, that's great. You rent there. I live here. This is all we do. And foundationally, I remember there was a guy, a good friend, ran a famous private equity firm nearby. And he said, your culture. I mean, you guys are over there, you know, because we were kind of not an unknown quantity, but we were really, you know, kind of under the radar. And as they got to know us better, it's like, your culture is what I want our firm to be like. Well, what do you do? How do you do it? I said, well, the first thing you got to do is your founders need to put all of their relationships in the middle and no one owns anything. And you don't fight over those relationships. They're the firms. The 15 seconds, he's like, yeah, that's not going to work.
So, he's like, I'm out.
I'm out. So it's like the culture has to be kind of in the roots. Yeah. And that resonates with people. And I think that's what we're, you know, in our shop, we believe it. It's not a religion. But it's a culture that everyone's invested in, and we mean it. And I think it goes back to my roots as well, and it resonates with me, that's for sure.
And so that ethos manifests itself, I think, in interesting ways. And I spent some time with Brian from Integrity, the CEO of Integrity, yesterday. And he told me a story that I want to test out on you, and I want to see if you remember it the same way, which was you guys were looking to buy the company. It was an auction situation, and so it was competitive.
And 19 bids.
19.
And we were not the highest price.
Right. He mentioned that.
He did. All right. Just details.
You know. Yeah, exactly.
Data.
Exactly. But he said that he remembers this very clearly, that the two of you had a conversation, and you were asking him about his life, you were asking him about his schedule, and he was talking about how much he was traveling.
Yeah.
And that you said to him, I want to do this deal, but if we're going to do it, I need you to spend 2 weeks at home, not on the road. True story?
It's a true story. And I believed in this athleticism, this idea that you could be emotionally athletic is super important. And I encourage people to not be, you know, everyone can play one key on the piano and they play great. But you got to be able to play a lot of keys. And the most healthy companies are the guys that and the women that can, you know, play the symphony. And that means at home. That means efficiency on travel, like boondoggles and everything else. Like what really matters? And making them the space for what – I'm not saying what matters to me, what matters to you. But now I know what matters to you is similar to what matters to me. Make it matter. And, you know, if you're going to take a week trip, make it 2 days. Get the same done, but get home. I don't know. I don't know if that's that dramatic to success, but it certainly always has resonated with me and probably seems like it resonated with him, which is cool.
What's interesting as you think about Integrity is this is a business that, again, keep me honest, becomes an integral part of your portfolio. I mean, arguably... Could be.
Well, everyone has those fund returners,
right,
that you didn't expect. We loved Integrity from the beginning in Norfolk, Nebraska. Three partners. My dad would love it. Mike, Tom, and Brian. You know, just you know, Jim, Tom, Steve. You know, not LeGrand. And that's a reference to my family. But anyway, it had to grow, and it was really an M&A story. Like we're going to go out and find others to kind of, you'll be the platform, and we'll bring others in. And it was slow. It took time. We had to have a shared services where the point is that you'd have a group in back that would create this, you know, ability to do the back office accounting and HR and everything else in a, you know, kind of centralized place. And that would be in a more efficient process as we brought new people on. And it took time, more time than we thought. And there was a moment when it's like, I don't know, is this working? You know? And how's Brian, you know? And I think having those referendums and deciding and re-underwriting again and saying, no, he is, and yes, this is the way, is super cool now when, you know, there are going to be, I mean, the returns are, you know, they return the fund and more with just one investment off of a faith and a relationship, really more than anything, and a belief in each other. And so now that we're on the other side of that, and now we used to be, they were the moon to our earth, and now we're the earth to the universe to them. Like, we're this small, that's how big they've gotten. And that, you know, anything like that, when you had those fundamental conversations on direction and which way we're gonna go, and decisions that you made together, partner, and went through the rigor. I my previous life, it was amazing. You know, throwing Jerry Rice a touchdown or Brent Jones, like, it was a, you know, in front of 80,000 people and winning games, like, there's nothing like it. But you talk about that relationship and how that was forged and everything, it's not 80,000 people watching it, but it feels familiar in how foundational it is to the experience and how, like, amazing it is. And I think that's why there is magic in private equity.
Integrity is also an interesting example of something notable and, again, somewhat radical that you do around compensation and ownership, and something that, and help me with this, you know, you've extended that idea even into your own firm in a different way. So
right, that's
walk
right.
me through that.
So Brian had the idea that he had, you know, 3,000 employees at the time. And you know what? The equity owners of the business, the people that have the stock, are making incredible amounts of money, but the employees are getting paid their salaries. What if we gave them stock in the business so that they, as the business grew, they weren't just getting their salary, they were actually had stock that would get more valuable? And I was like, that I love, right? Shared, you know, common experiences, right? Saying the stuff that I've always talked about in football, and the idea of building partnership, build partners with your employees, not just be paid mercenaries, I'm overstating it, but not just paid, but they're actually owners of the business. And I love that concept. And he did that for 3,000 people, and I'm 33,000 range. And, you know, and then 3 or 4 years later, when the new, you know, next transaction came by, that had turned into just an astronomical return for the employees. And he did that as a private business. And I thought, that's a way to solve for a lot of the ills of the corporate world and how people see the world, as building equity inside the employee base. I think that's, I don't know, I'm not new, certainly, you know, not revolutionary, but actually doing it when you don't have to, when you're not forced to, there's magic in that. And I loved that. And I think we've done it in our firm as well, and kind of more distributed partnership, and trying to give equity out, ownership, not just held by two people. Because what that does is it allows for generational mindset. It's not just waiting for two founders to, you know, shove off and then, you know, we'll all fight over the remains. It's like it builds value in the system that's ongoing. And you can talk about, and to me that was, it goes, it's funny, it goes back to Bill Walsh. I watched him do it in the late 80s. He filmed, there's a guy with a camera, the old school, you know, big thing of, on his back, and he'd follow Bill around everywhere, filming Bill as he spoke to the team, went out on the practice field, installed the offense in the lunchroom. And I kept asking, what is this, like a museum they're doing? Or what are they doing, a special documentary? Like, no one knew. Well, what it was he was creating a physical toolkit, a video-based, audio-based of all his speeches, and all of his playbooks and all of his installations, everything paper-based that he had, and essentially wrapping it all up as a toolkit to do what? At the height of his career, he was world famous. He was, Bill Walsh was 3 Super Bowls in, and, you know, he was the, it was at the nadir of his fame. He was doing this to hand it to his assistant coaches that he wanted to go have success in the league. He wanted his minority coaches, especially before the Rooney Rule, to give this toolkit, because he knew if he gave it to them, they'd have success. Who takes all their secrets, all the things that makes them great at the height of their greatness, three or four generations ahead of everybody else in the league and wraps it up and hands it to the people who are leaving to go coach other places. And then says to them, you know what? I'll see you in the championship game. Because he knows that with my toolkit, you're going to be competing back against me. And it happened. And so to me, that is look, I'm not telling everyone should give away their proprietary information, but there's a spirit to legacy. There's a spirit to, and so I watched it. I watched the guy at the height of his, and I said to him, Bill, why would you do that? And he said, Steve, we've got to give opportunity. I want these men to succeed. And I thought, that's a heck of a statement, because of course you do. But who does the actual work to give them the opportunity to go succeed and giving away what you own that is most valuable? Is that great business? You can make an argument that maybe that is the great business that we need to be in. And so those are, like, when you ask me what I'm thinking about, most of it's because I witnessed it. And I've seen this happen. And I know it is it's an abundant way to look at the world. And I can tell you that 30 years later in the NFL, as I go around on Monday nights and see the teams and see the coaching staffs, that Bill Walsh, and he doesn't get nearly the credit, he is the NFL. His coaching tree is the NFL. You name a team and you name that toolkit has traveled around now and been built onto so that today's offenses, if Bill was alive today and he saw the offenses today, the first thing he'd say is, why didn't I think of that? That is amazing. But the second thing that I'd want him to know is they built it off of you, what you did. Exactly what the West Coast offense is everywhere in the league. So what is the spirit of what he did? It's legacy. It's abundant. It's like a headwaters. And so there's a way to make returns. There's a way to have proprietary knowledge and not give it away. But there's a spirit. And I think what you're describing with Brian and what we've tried to do is a spirit of abundance that I learned from Bill Walsh. And what better way to honor something that was formative and foundational to how I see the world than to have this new wonderful career in private equity and have it informed.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
By this amazing cool stuff that happened that would have no place in private equity otherwise. So it's like,
right.
I can bring it in. And it's so far so good.
So then roll it back to something that I know is very much front of mind for you in terms of paying it forward, in terms of legacy, in terms of playbook, which is seeing a generation of athletes coming up, seeing athletes who turn professional and get taken advantage of, whose money is squandered, who make mistakes. You've seen it. Other athletes have seen it. Athletes who work with you, like Junior Bryant, have seen it and experienced it.
Yeah.
What do you do about that?
We got to pay it forward. We've got to, the same thing Bill did. We need to package up all of our experiences. And that's my job. My next job is to develop the repository of all the experiences of people who have transitioned. And by definition, if you've retired from the game, you've transitioned. Doesn't mean it was successful. Doesn't mean it wasn't a mess. But the stories need to be told, and there needs to be a repository for those stories to be drawn from for people who need to be thinking about it. And then you got to go out to the rookies who have stars in their eyes, who believe it's going to go on forever, that the money just flows in like a, you know, off a waterfall. And the financial literacy that they have versus the money that they own is a huge Grand Canyon that just is where people just collapse into. And so we owe it. from our own experiences to bring that forward. And okay, young, go get it done. Well, that's in my head. I got to get it done. But to have, you know, I had a funny story. I was unfortunately at a funeral. One of our coaches recently, tragically, was run over on a bike, and at the funeral was one of my old tackles, Kirk Schafford. He played for a number of years, but no one, you know, like the annals of the NFL, you'd be like, oh, Kirk Schafford from Montana. And so, you know, I'm like, Kirk, what are you doing? He goes, well, you know, in this drawl, you know, I'm living in Costa Rica, you know? And he tells a story about starting ice cream stores and how that was the transition. And immediately I said to myself, that story needs to be told for future generations so that someone can say, is that a franchise? How do I do that? And they can hear from him in his story. There are untold numbers of people who have transitioned. It's awful for everyone. Jason, Tom Brady's experienced it, right? He had 3 weeks of it. Like, whoa, no, it's a brutal experience, but it needs to be thought about. It needs to be prepared for and the best that you can. And then while you're playing, the financial literacy, while you're essentially financially illiterate, but yet making lots of money, we need to support so that it's not wasted. It can't be wasted. And this is ongoing. I've seen Goldman Sachs trying to do something. I see Steph Curry doing it with Goal. I see people out there, Andre Iguodala is doing some cool stuff. Everybody's thinking about it. And we need to figure out a kind of consolidated way to bring this forward for athletes, especially with NILs now. These kids in high school are now making $500,000. I mean, woohoo, great. But this should be foundational to their future. How do we figure out for them to have empower them to own that? Good luck telling an 18-year-old to like get focused, you know, financial literacy, you know, it's like
savings,
AAA insured bonds.
And so as you think back to, you know, sort of choosing private equity, I just want to go back to that for a second, only because you've now done this
longer
than you played the game. You're quick to point that out. Is private equity what you thought it would be? I mean, it's, dare I say, very financially rewarding. It is a, you know, well,
is it what you thought it would
be?
In important ways, yes. In that, if playing in the NFL and trying to be good or great, it takes everything. You just pour yourself into it. You can't replicate it. You can try and you can waste your time and you can actually create more problems for yourself in trying to replicate what you had in the NFL. But the challenges for me in private equity seem similar of what it takes and the challenges, and facing those challenges is energizing. So in that way, personally, just the job and the business and what success is and how rare it is similar. It feels similar. And I think that relationship is valuable to me because I find the same kind of satisfaction in doing the job well and not well, you know, like if failings and successes, like just like my previous life, right? And so that part, yes. Whenever you talk about money, it can devolve quickly as far as trying to show that import. And I think that seeing and empowering the Bryan Adamses of the world, I find that that's worthy. Like that's private equity, you know, that's a situation where private equity is super cool, super valuable, super abundant. Like we created and helped this thing that now it's gonna employ 50,000 people, you know? Now, how do you look at it? And then being run by people that have a spirit of, you know, paying it forward and, you know, that's the power. And I told Bryan, you know, my why of private equity is kind of embodied in him and Brandy Jacobs and a number of the men and women, Kate Bolseth that help. That's my why, right? Because to empower, like, I can't change the world, but I think those, they can. And so in that way, empowering them to do that while making return for, like, it's a multifaceted endeavor. But while doing that, you can change the, and I want, and I would back you. I would, there's a lot of people that are in powerful positions today that I would not follow, that I would wish that they were off the stage. But there are people that in private equity you can back that I hope that they go big. I would follow you anywhere. And I think that there's something, you know, has it fulfilled everything? No, there's failings and foibles of private equity, and it has a black eye for a particular purpose. But I think we're missing the potential of it too.
So as you think about what's next, I mean, I've watched you over the past few days. You are on the go. Like, what's next? What's next? What's next? So I'm going to pointedly ask you that. What's next? You built this firm. You talked about wanting to give back, but I know because I've read it and heard it, people talk to you about running for office. I know people talk to you in this day and age about owning a sports team. You're more embracing the world of sports now. So how do you think about those types of future opportunities?
Well, it's through the lens of what Barb will, you know, put up with. So, you know, that's number one. I think, look, this is my future here. This is my, you know, this is my career. This is what I want to do. People have, you know, younger guys in the firm are probably, I can't help it but say, well, so when's he, you know?
And I going to hang around for a while?
I told him as we tried to make this transition to a distributed partnership, one of the questions that is not going to be answered is what I'm going to do. Because right now I have more energy than I've ever had about doing it. So if you wanted like a succession speech or conversation, it's not happening. So that's what's next is that's not happening. Like, I don't know what's next, but it's not how to transition into something else. Like, I am about what we talked about figuring out ways to empower players. It goes to mental health. It goes to all these kinds of ideas that I have. I you know, for 20 years, I've gotten every safety, any idea of making the football safer. I've seen the helmet. I've seen the mouth guard. I've seen the tracking. I've seen the data. I've seen, the eye, you know, there's an eye tracking. There's phenomenal technology where you can put a goggles on. They'll track your eye, your pupil, and tell you whether you had sleep deprivation, whether you had a head injury, whether your neck is hurt, whatever it is. It's amazing. You can do it in 30, 60 seconds. Trying to get the NFL to adopt this because it needs to be on the sideline. It needs to, in many ways, replace the neurosurgeon who's subjective. Like, we need an objective test on the sideline. So it's like those kinds of things. Like, how can I... What we just described and all these ideas I had, it's like, you know, I don't even remember the old movie Night Shift with Henry Winkler and, you know, who was it? It was, and he said he had a tape recorder, you know, he's like, he's the idea guy. You know, the idea is like, I know, well, we're going to feed mayonnaise to tuna fish. That's what we'll do. You know, it's like, you know, I always laughed about that. But there are things that I've got in my mind that we need to get done. And so maybe that's next. And if there was in the future, a really functioning repository of wealth of stories that can help younger players be more empowered with their lives, that would be super cool. So maybe that's next.
I do want to push you just a little bit on the ownership question, though, because we have seen this turnover.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talked with the CFOs about this notion of seeing what ownership could be generations ahead of where we are now in terms of that partnership between owners and players.
Fair enough.
You think a lot about partnership in many ways.
Yeah.
I have to think in the back of your mind, you think, could I really marry these worlds?
Look, every player, I remember when at the end of my 49er days, Eddie DeBartolo had to step back, and there was this time when, you know, there wasn't, you know, someone in the office, you know, upstairs. And I remember Tim McDonald, who was kind of the defensive captain. The two of us, in our minds, kind of ran the team, right? And we used to go up and sit in the owner's kind of offices because no one was there. And we'd, like, put our feet up and have lunch and, like, act like we knew what we were doing. There's always a dream of players to have a hand in managing that business. And I think that guys like Aaron Rodgers, who have now agitated for, I want to be in the room where it happens, is healthy. I think it's actually profitable for the team because players know. They know how to scout, they know how to tell you whether someone can play, and they can actually help you make that partnership. So I'm in favor of that. The idea that there's 32, American royalty that own NFL teams, there's gonna be, the values are gotten so astronomical that the trades are gonna be so rare and they're gonna be so crazy, I had a crack at it. A good friend of mine, Kevin Compton, and I, and with Brent Jones, took a crack at it 20 years ago, and it didn't happen. But those days, I think, are maybe gone. Now, can Peyton Manning put together, when someone puts together an equity check of, $1 billion and he throws in 20, or 40 or something, then yeah, I think there's a way to do that. But, and be a part of it, and maybe even run it, like John Elway has famously done. I think that's possible, but I think the world of the NFL has gotten too big for players to actually own football teams.
Yeah. It does have to be fascinating for you from a broader canvas perspective to see how much sports and professional sports and even amateur sports have really come to help define the culture. It always has to some extent, but
you said it. You said the 100 most watched TV shows in 2021, 75 of them were the NFL. Yeah. When you talk about cultural, media entertainment, culture dominated by the NFL, dominated in a way that doesn't look like there's any stopping it. The idea that the NFL is ingrained in the middle of American culture it's not ingrained in it, it's dominating it. And so the quarterbacks, who are now more important than ever, are now recognizing that they have this space and place and time, and some are really taking advantage of it. Tom Brady will be one of the great transitions in sports as he goes on and does whatever he plans to do. He'll use all of that.
Whenever that happens.
Russell Wilson, you can see that. Russell Wilson will be someone who will be able to transition and be a media mogul of some kind, right? You can see the platforms that weren't there 20 years ago that are happening today for the players that are paying attention.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to this special edition of Bloomberg Business of Sports and my conversation with Steve Young. Check out the entire documentary, The Athlete Empire, Steve Young episode, on Bloomberg.com or via YouTube. And don't miss the premiere of Athlete Empire. We put that out late last year. It features Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod. And coming up next week, Ndamukong Suh. He's the feared defensive tackle and Warren Buffett protege who's building real estate and hospitality empire from his base in Portland, Oregon. I'm Jason Kelly. See you next time.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle-market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stiefel.com. That's STIEFEL.com.
Stiefel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.